Yeah. I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jackson.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fit Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio shop talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly. I am him, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. the dude that's always in your mama's bedroom banging that head. Boy, you heard me, because if you don't know, now you know. Here to bring you sports from the black perspective, from a comedic perspective, from the Joseph perspective, from the Southern perspective of how I break it down, get it down. And I just want to say one thing before I get into it. How about them Cowboys? Woo-hoo! Might just say, hey, you ain't nothing. Cowboy Nation in full effect. One time for C.D. Lamb, but we're going to get fuller into that because why? The NFL draft is over. That 2020 NFL draft is over, and I got to talk about it. Got to talk about that 2020 WNBA draft, what happened last week, the last dance, everything, man, is going down before we get into it. Hey, already you know that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, and On the Shoulders of Giants brings you the stories of the heroes, sung and unsung, of the African diaspora, the heroes that you normally won't learn about. And coaches as well, On the Shoulders of Giants, find those stories, research those stories, put the stories together, and deliver them to you via the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. And that's the numeral one, so that's www.ontheshoulders1.com. The On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG. The On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face classes, lectures, educational sessions, whatever you need from On the Shoulders of Giants, whether it's face-to-face session or digital, the information can be delivered. You can get it on your smart board, smartphone, smart TV, tablet, anything you need, your computer, your PC, laptop, all that. Once again, the website is www.ontheshoulders1.com, where you can get the stories of your sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. We don't wait on February. Every day is Black History Month. We're On the Shoulders of Giants. Really going down. Hey, man, a lot has happened, but a lot hasn't happened in the world of sports. A lot has happened in my life. So I didn't bring you a show last week, and the reason why, because my motherfucking head was on fire. So I learned that I can't shave my ball. You know, I be rocking the bald head, right? So I can't rock the bald head. Well, I can't rock the bald head. Let me not say that. I can't rock my bald head. I can't use razors anymore. So week before last, I shaved my head with the razor. What I've always done, what I normally done, I switched from the 3-blade to the 1-blade because the 3-blade was eating my shit up. So I switched to the 1-blade, and the 1-blade I was doing fine for a while. And just, I think it was a Monday, I shaved my head. And I went a couple of days, I was kind of lazy, so I went like 2-3 days without shaving my head. The next thing you know, it was a bump breakout in my head. So I was like, well, let me kind of get the bumps calmed down. And then I had a razor bump, razor burn attack on my head that lasted for like 7 days. That lasted, it was severe for like 4 days and lasted for 7 days. But last Sunday was the most severe. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't concentrate on anything. I just couldn't. I was so irritated, aggravated, hurt, all these things that I just couldn't. I couldn't do shit. I didn't do shit last Sunday but try to take care of my head. And I ain't want to bring y'all no half-ass show. No, it's a certain mindset, a certain character, and a certain energy level that I bring with the show. And I couldn't match that. I ain't want to do it, so I couldn't bring that same energy. So I ain't do the show, but I'm back this week. I just want to let y'all know what's going on with me. Your homeboy straight. I got those wall balding clippers, and bam, got me straight. So I just got to learn. I'm not going to lie, this ain't perfect. This ain't perfect bald head right now, because this is my first. That was actually my first time actually using clippers on my own head. I've used the razor and other stuff, and there's always a learning curve. So I'm going to hit it again in the morning before I go to work so it'd be smooth and stuff. But I'm back, though. But I'm back, even though my full beard, you know, I haven't lined myself up and knocked my beard down because it's been a while. Well, I've never done that with the full beard, and I'm kind of nervous, and I don't want to fuck myself up, be out here with a fucked up lineup, even though I'm out here looking like the Black Gardner Minshew right now. I'm looking like a fucking pirate. But anyway, it's really going down, but I just want to give y'all a quick update. Fix Sports Podcast. Man, tell a friend. Remember, the website for the Freedom Train is www.freedomtrainradio.com. You can definitely support The Fix on Patreon at patreon.com/The Fix. But it's going down. Remember, The Fix Sports Podcast, you can get this on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, or your favorite podcast outlet, like we atcha. When I say we atcha, like we atcha. Anywhere where you think we need to be, we is with the podcast. So what we talking about today, Willie? Well, what we talking about today, two HBCU spotlights, then we're going to get into it. It's not a lot, but it's a lot. It's a little bit of a lot and important stuff that I need to get to the show. Not going to be a long, long show, but it's going to be long enough to get my point across. And I'm going to give y'all the best that I got. So HBCU spotlight, of course, you know we had the NFL draft this past weekend, and a couple people from HBCU squads got picked up. So first spotlight is going to Morgan State's last name Bailey. He signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Manasseh Bailey, Morgan State signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, so we're going to talk about that. Now, defensive back from Norfolk State, he signed the deal with the Detroit Lions, and we're going to highlight him and him getting picked up by the Detroit Lions. And then we're going to talk about the 2020 WNBA draft. We're going to give you the results and the breakdown of the 2020 WNBA draft. Definitely exciting. I watched it, so it was cool and exciting, so we're going to get into it. Then we're going to talk about The Last Dance. It's about the last season of that 97-98 Chicago Bulls team, last time that squad squatted up and ran together that last year when they won that sixth championship. And we learned some new shit about what's going on, and I'm explaining a lot of things to a lot of people and getting to the LeBron-Jordan debate, even though it shouldn't be debated, whatever. And then we're going to get into the NFL draft break, I'm not going to go through all the draft picks, but definitely go through rounds one and two. Kind of give a breakdown of rounds one and two, maybe three, depending on time, and kind of get my thoughts on the picks. And our weekly rant is at a NASCAR driver, or should I say former NASCAR driver, I'm not sure, but Kyle Larson, he was fired for using the N-word, or fired for saying nigga, doing a virtual race car live stream. That happened a couple weeks ago, so we're going to get on his dumb ass about that stuff. But, you know, we always start our show off proper like. Oh, HBCU Spotlight. So as I said earlier, Morgan State's Bailey signs with the Eagles. Now, as a Cowboy fan, I wish the Eagles no success, but I wish Bailey success, but I wish the Eagles no wins, right? So Philadelphia Eagles announced Saturday the signing of 12 undrafted free agents following the 2020 NFL draft, including former Morgan State standout wide receiver Manessa Bailey. Bailey finished the 2019 season as third-team All-MEAC honoree and set school records in a number of categories during his final collegiate season. Capitol Heights, Maryland native finished the season ranked third in the MEAC in receiving yards with 996. It ranks as the second highest total in Morgan State history behind Clarence Hosendorf, who had 1,700 yards in 1993. Bailey also ranked among the league leaders in third receptions. Bailey also ranks amongst the league leaders in receptions. He was third in receptions and reception touchdowns with 10, fourth in receptions with 54, sixth in scoring touchdowns with 11, and eighth in scoring with 68 points. Bailey is a 6'1", 195-pound prospect with blazing speed. He actually ran a 4.39, so that should definitely help. If he can run routes, catch, and block, he end up with a 4.3 speed. They're going to look at Buddy because he run a 4.3. They're going to look at him and try to find ways to do something with him, especially if he can pick him up and put him down and put that thing in the end zone. They definitely going to look for things. All he got to do is make sure he can catch that ball, run good routes. See, a lot of y'all receivers, look, all y'all high school and collegiate receivers, listen to me. Learn that route tree. Master that route tree. Master the route tree. Master separation. Master the route tree. Master getting separation. You will always have a job. Even if you don't run a 4.3, if you can master the route tree, you can run great routes and you can get separation. And you can catch that ball and you can block. You don't have to be fast. You don't have to be fast, especially like you don't ever see when the ball go up is yours. Oh, man, you end up. But, he had three catches for 50 yards and a touchdown in the Tropical Bowl that they played. So, my man, Manessa Bailey, is on the Eagles team as of right now. So, that's what's up. I mean, you know, like I'm as a Cowboy fan, land, whatever, but as a HBCU brother, I'm like, congratulations to the brothers. Y'all going to put y'all hands together for Manessa Bailey. Manessa Bailey. Manessa Bailey going to the Eagles. I'm over this bitch looking like a pirate. Long ass mustache. So, one time again for Manessa Bailey getting picked up by the Eagles. Hey, man. Buddy running that 4.3, man. They got a little video of him real quick. Let me see if I can get this video to play for me so I can see Buddy's speed. Okay. Ooh. Hey, so this is a game against, I don't know who this against. But Buddy got speed, man. Oh, and he can go get it. Oh, this is a little highlight tape of him. So the quarterback just throw that thing up there, and he just separate. Wow. Wow, like he is fucking fast. Like Manessa Bailey got blazing speed. Wait, 4.39 and shit. Like, I'm talking about the separation from the DBs is ridiculous. Like, it's over. Like, the DB just running for his fucking health at this point. So what time for Manessa Bailey, man? Definitely one time for Manessa Bailey. All right. So let's move this thing along, and let's turn our attention to Bobby Price. Bobby Price of Norfolk State, defensive back of Norfolk State. He realized his NFL dream Saturday when he agreed to a free agent contract with the Detroit Lions. So Price, a Virginia Beach native who turned 22 on Saturday, was a four-year standout and two-time All-MEAC performer in the Spartans' defensive backfield. He played in 42 career games and started 37 times at safety. Price finished his career with 229 tackles, 8 for loss, to go with 7 interceptions and 23 pass breakups and 4 fumble recoveries. As a senior in 2019, Price made a career-best 73 tackles, earning second-team All-MEAC honors. He was also a track and field standout for Norfolk State, winning the MEAC outdoor long jump title and advancing to the NCAA East preliminary round as a junior last year. So, Bobby Price, they don't give as much information for Bobby Price as they do for Manasseh. But one time for Bobby Price, y'all put your hands together for Norfolk State DB Bobby Price. Get picked up by them Lions. Bobby Detroit Lions. Yeah. Bobby Price. Sound like an old school singer. My name is Bobby, and you got to pay the price. You got to pay the price. Ooh, you got to pay the price. Hey, you got to pay the price. Ooh, you got to pay the price. My name is Bobby, and you got to pay the price. And that there, folks, was our HBCU. I like that guy. For that HBCU spotlight, that's out. Man, I'm getting used to this long ass beard. Hey, man, remember, if you want to see the video of me, of the Fix Sports Podcast really going down in the size, you're going to see the video of it, become a patron. You become a patron for as little as $1 a month. So all it takes is $1 a month. That way you will be supporting the Fix Sports Podcast and its growth. And you'll also get privy to the actual videos of this podcast. It's audio and visual. And you can see me doing all my little funny movements and swaying and all types of gangster shit I be doing. So once again, www.patreon.com/thefix. The Fix! All right, so last Thursday, well, what's this? So today's date is the 26th, and so the NFL draft was this Thursday. But the Thursday before that, so that was the 23rd. So the 16th, so April 16th was the, damn, it's April just started. Damn, April just started. So basically, the WNBA draft happened. And let me go on a quick rant real quick, because I keep telling you people, a lot of you sports people, that y'all full of shit when it comes to the support of women's sports. Y'all are full of shit. Like, the WNBA draft, yes, WNBA isn't one of the top sports in America, but it can be if motherfuckers talk about it. But none of the sports shows talked about it. Were barely highlights. It was only highlights right after that WNBA draft. But the next day, nobody talked about it. You have to go searching for the information and shit. ESPN, Fox Sports, a lot of these networks do a fucking horrible job of covering women's sports and WNBA. The WNBA is the premier women's professional league in America. Show it some fucking respect. Like, these women go out there and do their goddamn thing, man. Show the goddamn WNBA some respect, man. But hey, WNBA, look, I'm holding you down. Women's sports, I'm holding you down, right? So I give you the draft. I'm going to go through the draft results of the WNBA draft and then, you know, do a little discussions and things as I go. So the New York Liberty had the first pick in 2020 WNBA draft, and they picked the baller out of Oregon, Sabrina Ionescu, and she has, like, all type of school records, scoring, rebounding, assists, and shit. Like, she's a baller. And she had a great career at Oregon. Oregon actually had the top two picks. So Sabrina Sabrina from Oregon. She knows who she is, Sabrina from Oregon. And Sotu Sabali was the second pick to the Dallas Wings, and she come from Oregon. So that lets you know Oregon had a squad this year. The first two picks in the WNBA draft came from Oregon, Sabrina and Sotu. So like I said, New York Liberty got Sabrina. Dallas Wings got Sotu Sabali. With the third pick of the 2020 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Lauren Cox Ford out of Baylor. So the fourth pick of the 2020 WNBA draft, the Atlanta Dream, they drafted Kennedy Carter, guard out of Texas. With the fifth pick, the Dallas Wings. So the Dallas Wings had two picks in the top five. So either they wasn't that good. That was a lack of being good and positioning and shit, right? So they got Bella Alari, guard from Princeton. That's with Dallas Wings. So my squad, I ain't gonna say my squad, because I like them, because I rock with the Minnesota Lynx, because my Marlins squad. But originally I'm down with the Houston Comets, right? But the Houston Comets ain't here no more. But Minnesota Lynx got Micaiah Herbert Harrigan, a forward out of South Carolina. You know she's going to be good because she came out of Don Staley's squad, right? So the seventh pick, Dallas Wings again. No, yeah, again. God damn. So the Dallas Wings had the second, fifth, and the seventh pick in the 2020 draft. And that was a trade from Seattle via Connecticut and Phoenix. They got Tyesha Harris, a guard from South Carolina. All right, so you know she's gonna be good because she comes from South Carolina. Then the Chicago Sky with the eighth pick drafted Ruby Hibbard, a guard from Oregon. So that's another Oregon player. So that's three for Oregon, two for South Carolina. The ninth pick, the New York Liberty, they up in there again. That's a they got that from Vegas, from Dallas, and they drafted a UConn forward, Megan Walker. So she was a baller. 10th pick, Phoenix Mercury. We got Jocelyn Willoughby. She's from Virginia, but she was actually traded to New York. So the Seattle Storm at the 11th pick from Connecticut got Katija Lacasa, a guard from South Florida. So one time for the South Florida girl. So with the 12th pick, the WNBA draft, the New York Liberty select guard from the University of Louisville, Miss Jasmine Jones. And the crowd goes wild, Tallahassee goes wild. So if you float back to the last episode of Fit Sports Podcast when I had Coach Erica Cromartie on, Erica Cromartie talked about a young lady named Jasmine Jones who played basketball at Louisville, excuse me, at University of Louisville, who was a member of one of Coach Cromartie's first teams. So Jasmine Jones is from Tallahassee, Florida. She went to FAMU DRS High School, played under Coach Erica Cromartie, and won a state championship under Erica Cromartie. Got a scholarship to go to the University of Louisville to play basketball. Made good on a scholarship for the University of Louisville and is now a first-round pick. She's the 12th pick, so she's the last pick of the first round of the WNBA draft. So she's the first player. So Jasmine Jones is the first player, the first athlete from Tallahassee, native of Tallahassee, to be drafted into a professional basketball anywhere, on anything, to be drafted into professional basketball. So one time for Miss Jasmine Jones. Y'all give her a round of applause. Home team, hero. But, so that lets you know people from Tallahassee can make it.
My time is mid.
Gone.
My time for jazz and gone. All right, so the New York Liberty was damn busy. So the first pick of the second round, the New York Liberty select Kaylee Shook. She's a guard from Louisville. So New York Liberty's the 12th, 13th pick of the WNBA draft went to the New York Liberty, and both picks were from Louisville. Both were Jasmine Jones, the guard, and Kaylee Shook, a forward from Louisville. So the 14th pick of the 2020 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Kathleen Doyle, guard from Iowa. With the 15th pick, the New York Liberty, very, very, very active. They select Leona Odom, a forward from Duke. 16th pick, Minnesota Lynx select Crystal Dangerfield, a guard from UConn. With the 17th pick of the 2020 WNBA draft, the Atlanta Dream select Brittany Brewer, a center from Texas Tech. The 18th pick of the WNBA draft, Phoenix Mercury select Tia Cooper, a guard from Baylor. The 19th pick of the 2020 WNBA draft, the Seattle Storm select Joyner Holmes, a forward from Texas. The 20th pick of the WNBA draft, the Los Angeles Sparks select Beatrice Montpierre, a forward from Miami. Beatrice Montpremier from Miami. 21st pick, the Dallas Wings select Louisa Geisel Older. She's a center from Germany. 22nd pick, the Los Angeles Sparks select Leon Fiebich. She's from Germany. Hey, I messed her name up. I know I did. With the 23rd pick, the Connecticut Sun select Kalia Charles, a guard from Maryland. With the 24th pick, the Washington Mystics select Jalen Agnew, a forward from Creighton. So that's the second round. The third round is the 25th pick of the WNBA draft, the Atlanta Dream select Michaela Pivic, a guard from Oregon State. So what's interesting, though, is there's a third Ogumike. You have Shanae Ogumike and I can't remember her sister's name, but they both play for the Los Angeles Sparks. Shanae Ogumike and Mecca Ogumike, I think. Yeah, Shanae and Mecca Ogumike. And so they actually have a younger sister named Erica Ogumike. And Erica Ogumike was drafted by the New York Liberty with 26th pick of the New York Liberty. She was a guard out of Rice. So she's a lot. I think the other girls are like 6'1", 6'2", and she's like 5'7", so she's a smaller player. She's a guard and that came out of Rice. But she was drafted by New York Liberty but actually traded to the Minnesota Lynx. So one time for the Minnesota Lynx. So the Atlanta Dream, the 27th pick, drafted Kobe Thornton, a guard from Clemson. The Indiana Fever at the 28th pick select Camille Smalls. She's a guard from James Madison. The 29th pick, the Phoenix Mercury select Stella Johnson, a guard from Ryder. The 30th pick, Chicago Sky select Japrice Dean, a guard from UCLA. The 31st pick, the Seattle Storm select Haley Gorick, a guard from Duke. At the 32nd pick, the Chicago Sky select Kaya Gillespie, a guard from Florida State. One time for Florida State, home team. Give it to Kaya Gillespie, Florida State, Tallahassee, you hear me? Give it up. You know that. We ought to get that hometown love, you hear me? Big Sports Podcast, Tallahassee, Florida, 850, you hear me? Down East Florida State, DCC, Black and Down, Blake Bradford, you know what I'm talking about? South Monroe, Houghton Street, Saxon Street, Orondale, Bridge Road, you hear me? Really goes down, Robert Avenue, Blake Bradford, you hear me? Basin Street, going down. So, at the 33rd pick, the Las Vegas Aces select Lauren Manis, a forward from Holy Cross. With the 34th pick, the Los Angeles Sparks select Tynese Martin, a guard from West Virginia. With the 35th pick, the Connecticut Sun select Juicy Landrum, a guard from Baylor. Her name Juicy. Ooh, she better be live, her name Juicy. I ain't going to say what I'm really thinking. But with the 36th pick of the WNBA draft, the last pick of the last round, the third round of WNBA draft, the Washington Mystics select Suge Sutton, a guard from Texas. And that is a recap of the 2020 WNBA drafts. Y'all give y'all put your hands together for all the ladies who got drafted in the 2020 WNBA draft. We're going to start the WNBA draft now. Remember, the season started. We have no idea, but a draft did happen. And we ain't going to act like the draft didn't happen. We're going to acknowledge the draft. You heard me right here on that Fit Sports podcast. Yeah, that's what's up, man. So shout out to all the ladies who got drafted. I'm looking forward to this upcoming season whenever we have it, right? If we have it. Gonna see what happened with this goddamn Rona and how they gonna quell it and keep everything together and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? So last Sunday at 9, the world was shook up again. The world of sports gave its undivided attention to The Last Dance, the untold story of Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls in that 97-98 season. And The Last Dance, for me and people my age, is a reminder. It's just a glimpse back into the greatness of Michael Jordan. For everybody my age and older, if you grew up watching Michael Jordan, if you're old enough to have been blessed to watch Michael Jordan play. So everybody who was able to watch Jordan, at least the second three-peat on back. The Last Dance was a reminder of how great he was. For all you young folk who've never seen Michael Jordan, welcome to greatness. Welcome to greatness. You thought you knew what greatness was. You thought you knew what winning was. But now you know, because the GOAT, or one of the GOATs, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, is on full display. How great he was, how great Scottie was, how great Dennis Rodman with that Bulls team. So, the drama, let's get into the drama, right? Jerry Krause is the smartest and dumbest general manager in the history of sports. I have arguably one of the greatest teams ever. Yeah, they're getting older, but one of the greatest teams ever. And his number one mission was to break it up because he wasn't getting the recognition he felt he deserved to get, as if his fat ass played basketball. See, the general manager, you get your praise as the team wins because you put that together. So that's how you get your praise. Like the media and the fans, we shouldn't know who you are. We don't care to know who you are. Hell, you ain't out there playing. Right? So Jerry Krause, he was on display for being one of the main reasons that the Bulls was broken up. The Bulls owner, I can't think of his name right now, he wasn't very helpful. He was a dumbass too. I didn't understand why they wanted to break the team up. So it was one scene in The Last Dance where the owner of the Chicago Bulls at the time told Phil Jackson that even if they go 82-0, he won't bring him back the next year to be the coach of Chicago Bulls. Jordan didn't want to play for nobody else. Pippen didn't want to play for nobody else like that in Chicago in those circumstances, which I thought was fucking idiotic from the owner and Jerry Krause, because they wanted to break that thing up. Scottie Pippen. Oh, come on, Scottie. Scottie's greatness is on display, but how underappreciated he was on full display as well. So I'm talking about episodes 1 and 2. So excuse me, I just dove right in. I really just dove right in. But okay, so last Sunday they showed episodes 1 and 2. And I said like this: I'm recording this episode before the airing of episodes 3 and 4. Because of our recording schedule with the Freedom Train, I have to record this a day early. So I'm not actually going to be talking about episodes 3 and 4 until next week's episode. But I could talk about 1 and 2 because 1 and 2 is what I saw. And so they did a lot of, but 1 and 2 did a lot of behind the scenes or leading up to what led to the Bulls. We got to see Jordan in college. We got to see Pittman at Central Arkansas. I had no idea what college Scottie Pippen went to. I had no idea what type of college player Scottie Pippen went to. No idea of the situation, no idea of Scottie Pippen's family. I didn't know Scottie Pippen was a country boy like that. So we learned a lot more about Scottie. Also, the janky-ass contracts, dumb-ass decisions, or the not-so-smart decisions in signing the contracts. But the thing behind that with Scottie is Scottie was trying to take care of his family, so he signed a bad contract and he was, I think they said, the 122nd highest-paid player in the NBA, and clearly a top-10 NBA player, but the 122nd highest-paid player in the NBA, Scottie Pippen. At the height of the Bulls' success, like during the second three-peat, Scottie Pippen was getting paid like trash, man. And so it's funny because we got to see them go through the trade with Charles Oakley, trading Charles Oakley away and bringing in Bill Cartwright to get the right pieces in place, especially for the first three-peat, and then the first three-peat happened, then it all leading up to the second three-peat and the last part of the second three-peat. Because the owners created the environment and the situation where they didn't want to continue. They literally wanted to blow the whole thing up, keep Michael Jordan, blow the whole thing up, and rebuild after just winning your second three-peat. Matter of fact, they didn't even want to go for the sixth ring. The Bulls front office didn't want to go for the sixth ring. They wanted to blow the whole thing up and just say, fuck it. But I agree with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was like, hey, man, you got to give us our chance to defend our fucking title. Like, we got to defend our title. Like, you can't just tell us that you finna blow this whole thing up and we haven't won our second title. So they had that issue. The disrespect Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen had for and displayed toward Jerry Krause was both funny, appalling, and like, wow. It was a lot of wow moments because of how they talked to him to his face. Real nigga shit, though. Real nigga shit. Real nigga shit. You can't be mad at them for saying it to his face. They did talk behind the man's back. I hope I ain't got no booger. They did talk about the man behind his back. They called him a piece of shit to his face. You got to respect that. Now, it's disrespectful, but you got to respect that they didn't come on the host up and come behind Jerry Krause's back. But they told him to his face that he was a bitch, and they felt like he was a bitch. We also talked about that. It showed Pippen being dissatisfied with his contract, and then this dissatisfaction that persuaded when he I think he got foot surgery, had to get foot surgery going to that 97-98 year, and he missed the first part of the season, and how Jordan had to carry the team, and they started. I remember that, though. And that's what I was talking about. I was like, yeah, I remember that, how they started the season out slow, had a lot more losses than they expected, but me being who I was, understanding who Jordan was, I was like, man, whatever, man. They got off to a slow start. They're still going to make the playoffs. They're going to go through the playoffs and win the championship, which we know they did, right? But it also leads to showing how savage Jordan was on the court, right? Because if you go to YouTube and just type in Jordan stories or don't talk smack to Jordan, you're going to see a whole bunch of videos come up because Jordan had to switch. The switch was already on high, but he knew how to take that switch and get it to a whole nother level, especially if you talk shit. Jordan was a beast. And so gets me to thinking about the debate of who's the greatest. Now, the greatest basketball player of all time. I still don't think we can fairly assess that this one player was the greatest of all time. I do think we could put the greatest players at positions. Or if we're doing head up, we could say something like that, but different people brought different things. So, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a great argument for the GOAT. If we just talk about raw ability, raw playing ability, Wilt Chamberlain has an argument. But the debate is between Jordan and LeBron, which it should be more expanded, because like Jalen Rose keep telling people, there are a lot more basketball players. There are a lot of basketball players who are a lot more accomplished than LeBron James. Magic Johnson is one. Tim Duncan. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is. You know, hell, Robert Ory. I'm not saying Robert Ory is in this debate. He's not. But hey, Robert Ory got more championship rings than LeBron. That's a lot of people, other people do too, who are not as good as LeBron. But so let's get into it. So Jordan, LeBron, first of all, to me, it's disrespectful to go Jordan, LeBron, and try to fucking skip Kobe. I don't know what LeBron has done to be placed ahead of Kobe in the category of GOAT. If we're going to take this argument there, I don't know what LeBron has done to be put ahead of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the category of GOAT, if we're talking like GOAT. What has LeBron James done to be ahead of either Kobe or Magic or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Tim Duncan? I'm just saying, if we're talking about achievements, like LeBron is the greatest player of his era. Kobe is the greatest. Kobe's debate is a bit different for his era because Kobe played with Shaq and Duncan. So Kobe, Shaq, and Duncan are the greatest of their era. It just how it is. And Jordan is the greatest of his. Magic and Bird had their time. Kareem, you know. So I say Jordan, hands down, is a better player and had a better career than LeBron James. Both sides of the ball. If Jordan is the type of player who could do anything he wanted to do on that court. So if Jordan wanted to lead the league in steals, he could. Jordan wanted to lead the league in assists, he could. Jordan wanted to lead the league in rebounds, he could. Jordan was a scorer. Jordan, that to me is not a debate because, first of all, they're not similar players. Both Jordan and LeBron are on my all-time starting five. So my all-time starting five, if I pick five players from anything, my all-time starting five would be Jordan would be in the point guard position, Kobe in the shooting guard position, LeBron in the small forward position, Tim Duncan in the power forward position, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the center. And LeBron is going to be my point guard to bring the ball up the court, because think about it. Who you stopping? Who you stopping? You got Jordan and Kobe on the wings, LeBron bringing it up. You got Duncan. And then you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with a shot nobody can stop. So we got like some of the top scorers of all time just on my squad. But defenders, we talking about defenders. Like all these boys is with the exception of LeBron, but all the other boys, man, like defense, I think they had more first team defenses. Now, LeBron is a hell of a defender, all time defender. Don't get it twisted. So all my people can defend. And you can't stop none of them from scoring. My all-time five would be Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Duncan, and Kareem. Now, if we're talking about who's better, Jordan or LeBron, first of all, like I've said, don't disrespect Kobe. Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. In that order, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. In that order, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. And a lot of these people from the Last Dance documentary are going to get to see what Jordan did. But, hey, take your ass to YouTube and watch the old school Bulls games and go see how much of a killer Jordan was. When Larry Bird called that man God. Why? Because Jordan gave them boys the business, man. Jordan was an unstoppable force. The only thing that could slow Jordan down was gambling debt, cheating on his wife, and father time. The only thing. So y'all need to get up out of here with these debates, man. Trying to say LeBron is the GOAT. LeBron isn't the GOAT. LeBron's the GOAT of his era, but not the all-time GOAT. Definitely not. But, man, I look forward to watching episode 3 and 4 tonight. And you know, give y'all an update on it next week, man. So, The Last Dance, if you haven't watched it, watch that shit, man. It's where it's at. All right, so, let's move on. That's my football music. So, the 2020 NFL draft happened this weekend, and it went all the way down. So, man, hell, let's just get into it, man. So, we know the Cincinnati Bengals had the number one pick. They were on the clock first, so everybody pretty much knew that they were going to go with Joe Burrow. Now, let me say this about Joe Burrow. I am not, by no means am I saying Joe Burrow would not be a good NFL quarterback. I am not saying that. But I am not sold on Joe Burrow being the best quarterback or even the number one pick. Now, Joe Burrow may have been a better fit for Cincinnati than a Tua or a Herbert or even a Jordan Love. And we're going to get back to that Jordan Love. But I felt, and I still feel like Tua is the best quarterback in this draft. Better resume, better show up. Like, Joe Burrow showed up for one season. I saw Skip Bayless criticizing. I saw him literally criticizing Tua for maybe 3-4 games of his whole career, saying these were bad games, pointing out bad games. While he made an excuse for Joe Burrow having a full bad year. So Joe Burrow's 2018-2019 season was trash. It wasn't good. Joe Burrow 2019-2020, the greatest single season a quarterback has ever had in college football history. Now, that don't mean you're going to be good in the league. That don't mean that. Now, my argument is not that Joe Burrow shouldn't have been drafted at number one. It ain't that Joe Burrow shouldn't be in the league. It ain't even that Joe Burrow isn't good. It's that Joe Burrow isn't the best quarterback in this draft. But nevertheless, he was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think the SEC had 64 players total drafted in this draft. One shy of last year was 65, so the SEC literally put 64 players in the NFL draft this year. After doing 65, 66 last year. The SEC where it's at, man. NFL junior. So following suit, so we kind of figured the first three picks. We kind of anticipated for the first five picks. We kind of pretty much knew where things were going to go with that. So, like I said, Joe Burrow for Cincinnati Bengals was selected. And so they need to make sure the system is good for Burrow. Because we've seen him when the system was great. So with Joe Madden at LSU, when the system was great, Joe Burrow shined. So the Cincinnati Bengals have to make sure everything is good and in place for Joe Burrow. So number two pick, the Washington Redskins, mustard colored pants. They drafted Chase Young, the dominant defensive end out of Ohio State. Fucking grown man, child, and I'm not mad at them for this pick. As a Cowboy fan, I'm like, fuck them. But Chase Young is probably the best overall player in this draft. Most likely, he could be the best overall player from top to bottom in this draft. Chase Young, definitely a beast, could not be stopped. Probably better than them Bosa boys. So the Washington Redskins picked him up at second pick. Third pick, we pretty much kind of figured Okuda would go to the Detroit Lions. Jeff Okuda, cornerback from Ohio State, lockdown corner, very, very, very good cover corner, very fluid hips, good footwork, good hand placements. He covers the receivers very, very well. He goes up and gets the ball very well, got great ball skills, great eyes. He's fluid. He can move with the receivers. He can get in and out of cuts with the receivers. He had a stellar year. He had a definitely stellar year. Ohio State put two DBs That Ohio State had a very good defensive backfield this year. So shout out to Jeff Okuda, man, and I hope he ball out as a former DB. I like to see DBs go high and draft and ball out. So one time for Jeff Okuda. If you haven't seen him, go to YouTube, check out his highlights. Jeff Okuda, definitely a good DB for Ohio State. At the fourth pick, the New York Giants selected Andrew Thomas, a tackle out of Georgia. They got to get your offensive line go. So I can't really expound on Andrew Thomas, but that's who the Giants picked up at the fourth pick. So what I already suspected what the Miami Dolphins were going to do is everybody already knew it because, you know, they had the tanking for Tua, but the Miami Dolphins, the fifth pick, selected Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama. And despite the injuries, the Dolphins made a great pick. I think the Dolphins have got a quarterback. They got a good quarterback. Now, I'm going to say this. The jury is still out for me on Burrow and Tua as professionals. I'm not highly sold on them as professionals. For both of them, I need to see it first. I really do need to see it. I need to see it happen. I need to see it happen consistently. Just for some reason, I just don't feel like I feel like Tua may be overhyped as a professional quarterback. Now, I feel like he's worth all the hype as a college quarterback, but maybe overhyped as a professional quarterback. Same thing with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. I feel like this quarterback class was okay, but none of them really seem to me like they are going to light it up. They may. I could be wrong, and I want to see it, but I just, from everything that I saw, now I do feel like Tua is the best quarterback of this class, definitely the best quarterback of the class, and worth the Dolphins coming up and getting them at the fifth pick. I thought that was right for the Dolphins to go get Tua at the fifth pick. So Tua doesn't have to play right away. I think they got Fitzsimmons or somebody, whoever they got, but Tua don't have to play right away, but I do expect Tua to be playing for the end of the season. So look out for that for the Dolphins, for all you Dolphins fans really going down. So the Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers at sixth pick, they got Justin Herbert. I'm not excited about that. I'm not excited about Herbert over at Oregon. What was his big games? What was his big wins? What was his key victories? What was his key moments as a quarterback? Can't really get into all that because with Herbert, because don't know. But I'm just not excited about Justin Herbert as a quarterback in the NFL. That's all I got to say about him. So at the seventh pick, the Carolina Panthers selected Derrick Brown, defensive tackle out of Auburn. Good pickup for the Panthers. Make sure they get their defense right. But another pick that I love, and I kind of figured this pick was going to happen when I saw how things were lining up. I like the Arizona Cardinals selected Isaiah Simmons, linebacker from Clemson, the linebacker slash safety slash defensive end slash defensive fucking monster out of Clemson. Number 11, like he's a football player. He's a defender. He's an eraser. He can cover. He can put his hand in the ground. He can rush the passer. He can play the run. He can play the pass. He can do all of that. And he's faster than everybody else out there. Like Isaiah Simmons is just a fucking beast out there. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to see him play for the Cardinals because I know he's gonna light it up. I don't even know what position they're gonna put him at. But I'm excited to see that with Isaiah Simmons because he's a beast out there, man. He did his thing for Clemson, just a fucking beast. So I wasn't expecting that. Nine with Jacksonville Jaguars, they selected C.J. Henderson, the cornerback out of Florida. And Henderson was cool. Henderson is a good DB. He's a real cool, good DB. I just wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that pick. So at the 10th pick, what a lot of people are calling the SEC or the Cleveland LSU Tigers, so the Cleveland Browns selected Jedarik Willis, a tackle out of Alabama. Like I say, these SEC players is going off the board and everywhere, right? So Jedarik Willis, tackle out of Alabama, going to Cleveland Browns. At the 10th pick, at the 11th pick, the New York Jets drafted Mekhi Becton, a tackle out of Louisville. With the 12th pick, I wasn't really expecting this to happen at this pick, but the Las Vegas Raiders selected Henry Ruggs III, the fast-ass receiver, ran a 4.3 out of Alabama. He was the first receiver off the board. So we were expecting more so Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb to be the first receivers off the board, but it don't even matter because it worked out all good. Worked out all good. So Cleveland Browns selected Jedarik Willis, tackle out of Alabama. That's the 10th pick. The 11th pick, the Jets, the New York Jets selected Mekhi Becton, a tackle out of Louisville. They need to sort that offensive line. So, I'm going back. I'm tripping. So I thought that was Becton is the 11th pick. So Henry Ruggs, the 12th pick, the 13th pick, Tampa Bay Buccaneers selected, and there was a trade from San Francisco. They got Tristan Warriors, a tackle out of Iowa, and they need to get that so they can protect Tom Brady. But the Buccaneers also made another good pick with Antoine Winfield II. So the San Francisco 49ers with a pick from Tampa Bay got a defensive tackle out of South Carolina, Justin Kinlaw. Kinlaw! Damn it, Kinlaw! Kinlaw! So at the 15th pick, the Denver Broncos selected great route runner, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver out of Alabama, which is good, which is a good pickup for them. He replaces Emmanuel Sanders. So the 16th pick, Atlanta Falcons selected cornerback A.J. Terrell out of Clemson, solid cornerback, good pickup. Now, got to do it like this. Got to do it like this. Come on. 17th pick, 2020 NFL draft. Dallas Cowboys select CeeDee Lamb, grown-ass man out of Oklahoma. Best wide receiver in the nation, who I felt was the best wide receiver, who I wanted since I saw him balling on them boys last year. I was like, Dallas needs to get him. And it all worked out. Dallas drafted CeeDee Lamb. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. Hey, man, we got CeeDee Lamb, bud. So we got CeeDee Lamb to add to our already good offense. We just need to make sure we show up our defense, and I think we did a little bit of that moving forward. So I'm just excited about that pick because that takes a lot of pressure, a lot more pressure off of Dak, take a lot more pressure off of Zeke, open things up a bit more because you can't single cover nobody. We got – I don't even care who our tight end is, but we got a tight end. So we got Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb. And then Zeke can catch the ball at the backfield. Our offense lives. We just need to make sure we can sew up our defense, right? So at the 18th pick, Miami Dolphins selected Austin Jackson, the tackle out of USC. At the 19th pick, the Las Vegas Raiders selected Damon Arnett, a cornerback, the other cornerback out of Ohio State, Okuda's running mate out of Ohio State. So the 20th pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars selected Kalavon Chasen, a DN out of LSU. So I expected the Eagles to get Justin Jefferson, but they seen like they saw another receiver they wanted, and Justin Reagor. So the Philadelphia Eagles selected wide receiver out of TCU, Justin Reagor, a fast burner. I think he's a 4-3, 4-4 guy, Justin Reagor. So the Minnesota Vikings selected Justin Jefferson, who I thought Philly was going to get, but they got Reagor, but the Vikings got Justin Jefferson. Now, eager to see how they use Jefferson with Thielen, being that both are slot receivers and both spend a lot of time in the slot, so we're going to see how that happens. So at the 23rd pick, the Chargers picked up linebacker from Oklahoma, Kenneth Murray. At the 24th pick, the Saints got the end, which was a good pick. They got a center, Cesar Ruiz, out of Michigan because they need to make sure they keep Drew Brees upright. And the Saints have signed, they're signing Jameis Winston. So Jameis Winston is going to be the backup for Drew Brees while they still do all that gadget stuff with Taysom Hill. The San Francisco 49ers at 25th pick selected Brandon Ayuk, badass receiver out of Arizona State. So one time, Justin Ayuk, San Francisco 49ers, because they need that shit. He over there with Deebo Samuels and them. Badass receiver out of Arizona State, Justin Ayuk. So what I feel like is a crazy-ass questionable pick, the 26th pick of the NFL, first round of the NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers selected quarterback Jordan Love out of Utah State. And Aaron Rodgers is 36, but Aaron Rodgers is still playing good football. You know, you just went 13-3 last year. You lost in the NFC Championship game. I mean, reasons your defense was trash. Defense couldn't stop, couldn't keep San Francisco off the field running guy. But then you come back. So, Green Packers have drafted a player since they drafted Aaron Rodgers. The Green Bay Packers refused to give Aaron Rodgers help. Because think about it. You got the NFC Championship game with just Devontae Adams and no real help on offense. So they did draft a running back, but they didn't really get no real help on offense. And that's kind of crazy. Jordan, I felt Jordan Love can't be drafted by the Packers. But he's not a pick by the Packers, I don't think. Jordan Love, I'm finna look up his stats, but his last season wasn't good, man. So he did lose. Now, to be fair, Jordan Love did lose his coach, his offensive coordinator, and also a lot of help, a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of people that he could throw the ball to. So 2017, played Mountain West Conference, Utah State, as a freshman, played 12 games. He threw for 1,631 yards, 8 touchdowns, 6 picks, QB rating of 119. 2018 season, where he went off, his sophomore season, he went off. He played 13 games, threw for 3,567 yards, had an 8-yard average. 32 touchdowns, 6 picks, 158 rating. So his junior year last year, played 13 games. He threw for 3,402 yards, 20 touchdowns and 17 picks. So we wasn't real careful with the ball. I'm not happy with the pick. I'm not happy with Green Bay making that pick. I just don't think I thought Green Bay could have spent that pick on a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Plenty of wide receivers. They could have got Aaron Rodgers a wide receiver. And they went and got a quarterback who was a project who may not play for the next 2 or 3 years. But it's also saying that the Green Bay Packers are pretty much at the end of their rope and end of their time with Aaron Rodgers. And they're looking to have the same transition they had with Brett Favre to Rodgers. But the thing about Jordan Love isn't what Aaron Rodgers was in college. And Jordan Love, will he be what Aaron Rodgers is in the pros? We don't know. I just don't like the pick. Now, I just felt like they should have got Aaron Rodgers some help. That would have been imperative to get him some help. And you could have came and got – hey, you could have got a backup quarterback. Jordan Love probably could have fell somewhere. You probably could have got him later, got Jake Fromm or something like that. So – I don't know, man. So the 27th pick, the Seattle Seahawks got linebacker Jordan Brooks from Texas. 28th pick, the Baltimore Ravens got Patrick Queen, linebacker from LSU. 29th pick, Tennessee Titans got Isaiah Wilson, the tackle from Georgia. 30th pick, the Miami Dolphins got Noah, the cornerback from Auburn, Noah, the African name with the IG, Abignohini. From Auburn. The 31st pick, the Minnesota Vikings selected Jeff Gladney, a cornerback from TCU. And what I felt was a very, very, very good pick at the 32nd pick. Very good pick. The Kansas City Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, the running back out of LSU, who can run, block, and catch the ball, would be an asset, a real asset to the Kansas City Chiefs offense. So let me just I just want to highlight the drafting of Grant Delpit and Antoine Whitfield Jr. So Grant Delpit, the Thorpe Award winner, or the best DB, he was drafted 44th by the Cleveland Browns, and Antoine Whitfield Jr. was drafted 45th by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was hoping Winfield could last to the 51st pick with Dallas, so we can get him. But we got end up getting Trayvon Diggs, cornerback out of Alabama. I'm not mad at that pick. And then the Los Angeles Rams drafted Florida State's running back, Cam Akers, who I think will be a good pickup for the Rams, a good running back. And then Jalen Hurts was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. The quarterback from Alabama / Oklahoma was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles in the second round. He'll be a backup to Carson Wentz. And then J.K. Dobbins, running back from Ohio State, was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. So Van Jefferson, wide receiver from Florida, was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams. Denzel Mims, wide receiver from Baylor, was drafted by the Jets. So yeah, those are standout names and stuff. Like I say, Jake Fromm finally got drafted in the sixth round by who got from? Was it the sixth round or the fifth round? Who got Jake Fromm? I can't remember who drafted Jake Fromm, but he finally got drafted, I think, round six. Looking for his name now. Jake Fromm, the former quarterback from Georgia. He might have been in the fifth round. Let me look at the fifth round. Who took Jake Fromm? Do 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 do. I'm looking, but I can't see. Let me Google. Let me stop playing and just Google it. So Jake Fromm was drafted in the fifth round. The Bills. So the Buffalo Bills drafted Jake Fromm in the fifth round. So a lot of people expected him to go higher than that. He was definitely better than that, but fifth round to the Buffalo Bills. So that's the first round of the NFL draft. I don't have time to go into the second or third rounds, but that's the first round. And, I'll be talking more about the NFL draft as we move forward, because shit, we got to talk about football and stuff. We got to get ready for it. Hopefully, we will see what happens with this Rona, man. So hopefully we'll have a season and shit. But I'd rather be healthy than have sports. So with that being said, it's time for my weekly rant. And it's aimed at NASCAR driver Kyle Larson, who used the word nigga, who just kept saying nigga on the live stream playing a racing car game. So I did see the video. So Larson was half Japanese, was a graduate of NASCAR's Drive for Diversity program. Shit, not... I need to revamp. They got that program in. You know what I'm saying? So Kyle Larson, a six-time NASCAR Cup Series winner, was fired Tuesday by Chip Ganassi Racing after he used the word nigga during a live stream virtual race. He said it like two or three times. So the 27-year-old from California was competing in an iRacing event on Sunday night when he appeared to lose communication with his spotters on his headset. In the subsequent microphone check, Larson said, "Can you hear me?" followed by the word nigga. Larson's fellow competitors on the virtual race appeared shocked by his use of the word. "Kyle, you were talking to everyone, bud," one driver said. Another responded, "Yikes," because like if you hear the recording stuff, everybody could hear them, right? So on Monday, Chip Ganassi Racing suspended Larson without pay, and NASCAR suspended him indefinitely. He was also ordered to complete sensitivity training. However, on Tuesday, Chip Ganassi Racing fired him. Larson was in the final year of his contract with the team. After much consideration, Chip Ganassi Racing had determined that it would end its relationship with driver Kyle Larson, the organization said in a statement. As we said before, the comments that Kyle made were both offensive and unacceptable, especially given the values of our organization. Larson had apologized in the video on Monday before his termination. So let me see this video. I don't know how loud it's play, but it's a video.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm sorry. You know, last night I made a mistake and said the word that should never, ever be said. And yeah, there's no excuse for that. You know, I wasn't raised that way. You know, it's just an awful thing to say. And I feel very sorry for my family, my friends, my partners, the NASCAR community, and especially the African-American community. You know, I understand the damage is probably unrepairable, and, you know, I own up to that. But I just wanted to let you all know how sorry I am. And, you know, I hope everybody is staying safe during these crazy times. Thank you.
So are you sorry that you said it, or are you sorry that you got caught? Because I think you're sorry that you got caught and punished. Fuck you, Kyle Larson. See, what a lot of you non-blacks get fucked up about, the word nigga is not a recreational word for everybody. I don't know how many times I got to say this to you dumb fuckers. All right? Black people, we use the word nigga because it's fucking been ingrained in us for 500 years. It was literally, that word and that title was literally beat into our ancestors, beat into our psyche, beat into our lexicon, raped into our ancestors, raped into our psyche, raped into our lexicon. That didn't happen for anybody else. So all you others who try to use it as some recreational fun shit, you need to sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. Black people, we call ourselves race nigga because of fucking conditioning. Over 500 years of conditioning. We've been conditioned to look at ourselves as niggas, think at ourselves as niggas, and call ourselves niggas. What's everybody else's excuse? Oh, the word is cool. It's cool to say nigger. It's cool. Cool, 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 cool. Man, fuck y'all stupid ass people. Kyle Larson, I don't feel sorry for you. And we don't accept your apology. You can keep your apology. You was raised that way. You do use that word. You do get down like that. Because if not, you wouldn't have said it. I don't use words that I don't say. If I don't say the word, then I don't say the word. So I can't say, well, it's not in my nature to use the word ooga booga, but I use the word ooga booga. Look, you use the word because you felt like you was comfortable. You felt like you was in the space where the word could be used, and you used it. You just call it what it is. That's what happened. You felt like you was in the comfortable space, and you used the word nigga. That's what happened. Why? Because when you're in comfortable spaces, you use the word me. And now you've lost all your shit, lost your sponsors. Everybody's not fucking with you. And now you are sorry. You are sorry that you got caught and you've been punished for it. That's what's happening. You're not sorry that you used the word. You're sorry that you got caught and you've been punished for it. Kyle Larson, and your apology is not accepted. The Fix Sports Podcast don't accept your shit. Shouldn't have fucking said it. Let's stop acting like we don't understand the repercussions and the hurt and everything that go behind the word nigga. Let's not act like we don't know why black people use the word and why everybody else can't use the word. It's a fucking whole traumatic, horrible history, a holocaustic history behind the word nigga. That's ingrained into the word nigga. It's a holocaustic history behind it. So all you white people who be out there trying to be cool and nigga this, nigga that, hey, I tell you what, I'm the black dude that'll slap the fuck out you. White people, don't get it twisted. You call me a nigga, I'm going to beat your ass. Matter of fact, anybody who not black who called me a nigga, I'm going to beat your ass. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is my warning. I gave warnings before. This is my warning. I'm letting you know now. You called me a nigga, I'm going to beat your ass. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to get hit in your face. That's just how it is. The word nigga hasn't been ingrained in you. The mindset of being a nigga hasn't been ingrained in you. So all you people out here that's just trying to be cool with it, nigga this and nigga that and all that other stuff, hey, man, you called me a nigga, You use the word around me, we fight. I'm that black dude. I was born in 1984. It was not cool. It has never been cool in my lifetime for white boys or anybody else to call us niggas. So don't let these new 90s, 2000 babies get y'all non-black people asses whooped. Kyle Larson, you a bitch. You a dumbass. You a fuckboy. You racist. And I'm glad all that shit happened to you. You need to be more mindful. Hey, man, just check your motherfucking privilege, huh? How about just stop being fucking racist? You clearly are a racist motherfucker. Because you wouldn't have said it if you wasn't. So clearly, you are. So stop being a racist motherfucker. If you stop being a racist motherfucker, shit like this won't happen. That's just how it is. Kyle Larson, you's a bitch. Fuck you. We don't accept your apology. You can shove it up your ass. I'm glad you lost all that, and I hope you lose a lot more. Fuck you and your racism. Fuck everything about you. Sick. Suck some dick. Go to hell. Kyle Larson. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. Hey, man. So this is another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast, man. You know, I brought you a couple topics. I ain't going into as many topics as I usually do, but gave you some topics, man. I had a couple of things to talk about. I had to talk about that Last Dance, talk about that WNBA draft, talk about that NFL draft. You know, kind of get into some things, man. Fuck Kyle Larson. And that weekly rant. And how we do it over here, man. Remember, you can support your homeboy on the Fix Sports Podcast by visiting Patreon at patreon.com/TheFix. Visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, man. Y'all be safe and smart during this corona time. Stay out of large groups, man. And if you think you got it, stay your ass home with quarantine for 14 days, man. With that being said, I am your host, the master. The one, the only, Joseph Ward. This is the Real Fix Sports Podcast, man. The realest and the blackest and the funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your motherfucking life. Two fingers in the air like a player because I'm up at you. Yeah.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one that can